Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.
Quite right, too. Well, there we are. Silver Jubilee, Rob Nichols. Get the Karanka Chiefs ready. It is the Silver Jubilee. Amazing. Did you ever think when you were asked to take over the reins of this superb production, Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, the fanzine that basically makes other fanzines just pale by comparison, that effectively a quarter of a century would be passing by?
I mean, obviously,
amazing. And
it's a long time.
It is. As you say, the very first time. Go on, you share the. Who were the predecessors, the people you took over from? You took the baton on from this.
It was owned by a fella, everybody had like their pen names. It was owned by a guy called Gilandi Schmultz, who'd set it up with Tony Pierre and Robbie Bull. But Nigel Endy Downing was the editor through a lot of that time, and his brother.
No relation to Stuart? Or was he?
Yes, his brother is called Stuart Downing, but he possibly not the Stuart Downing that you're thinking of. And Stuart Downing was also known as Miniature G. Even though he's actually taller than his brother, I think. So those two were the main characters, and then I took it over, and they used to do it with me.
We'll be reflecting inevitably as this particular podcast, The Companion for Issue 536, of course, proceeds about how the fanzine's progressed and how it really is. It does provide such a valuable role. But I think it's fair to say that there are one or two people who might just think that we really should be considering probably that significant piece of innovation that, of course, Shay Given has joined Middlesbrough for a month.
Yeah.
I think there might be something else that's happening as well, but the one I had on the top of the list was actually Shay Given. Just to work through that. Interesting, because, of course, it enables us to reflect on that ridiculous result. I don't even want to mention the other team, which saw Mr. Steele sent off.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. There's always a red card at Leeds, and this time it's the goalkeeper.
Some sort of Brian McDermott sort of organisation.
Yeah.
Sort of line of things.
But
was it true to say that the new manager, bless his heart, we will be mentioning him regularly because we are not worthy as he takes us into whole new areas. perhaps there was an improvement in the second half which led to a one-day goal from Carriol.
It was absolutely. We were down to 10 men, and not only when you're down to 10 men and your goalkeeper goes off, you've got to take an outfield player off through no fault of his own, and we took our main striker off in many ways.
The Swiss chap to get a sort of little run out.
Absolutely.
And people are saying it's a little bit unfair that he wasn't given another chance, really.
But, Jason Lutweiler. Yes, I don't know what his thoughts are. Oh, we may be jumping the gun. It could be Jason Lutweiler that plays at the weekend rather than Shay Given, I don't know.
It's a whole new world. But as we often said, I think those who actually know, it's not so much Brazil, but it's going to be just like watching Real Madrid in future, really.
Let's hope so. Real Borough.
I'm amazed that we haven't already had Ronaldo decide to actually say it's time I actually moved to the northeast.
There's still time yet.
I would have thought so. Well, obviously, we're going to be talking about Aitor Karanka? Aitor Karanka.
Aitor
Karanka, exactly. Yeah. Aitor Karanka, and of course the change of regime, which I think surprised a number of people, myself included, not only from the point of view of the appointment, given that he was being related or connected with the likes of Crystal Palace and various other sides, etc. But I think that there was a sort of sense that, you know, it was going to go down the line of probably a Tony Pulis or somebody like that in terms of the sort of system. So
I think a lot of people, I think that was a favourite, that Tony Pulis would come to us and Aitor Karanka might go to Crystal Palace. Yeah. Interesting, it's the other way around, isn't it?
But obviously he recognises the quality
that
exists in the northeast. We're going to be talking about Aitor Karanka, and indeed features from John Nicholson, and in a rare example of putting in a long form piece as opposed to his usual pithy quotes that he puts on the cover of the front of the Moon, Bob Fischer's also featured, plus poetry from not one but two contributors. You might guess one, you might guess the other.
If that's true,
could guess them both.
Could do.
We'll be focusing on that and more for Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion to issue 536. Whenever I see Bolton Wanderers, I just can't think of their fanzine, of course, which, Rob, as you well know, is called Tripe and Trotters. It's not the same thing, is it?
No,
really?
It's not.
Not the same thing at all.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and St. Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
How can you have confidence in your first aider when all they have is a certificate to say that no one ever failed, when you have no information about their skills, and when, according to the Resuscitation Council, 70% of CPR done in the UK is delivered below standard and inadequate? In an emergency, survival and recovery depend on the help you get before paramedics arrive. Wouldn't you rather have first aiders at work who can really save lives? Life aiders can. Go to lifeaidtraining.co.uk for details.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential and nursing care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough, providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential, nursing and dementia service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 22 33 34. That's 01642 22 33 34. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival. More than a literary festival. More than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration. With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.
I know, so exciting in every sense of the word, marvellous. So, as we said, 25 years of the fanzine, issue 536 has actually arrived. And Bob Fisher. Yes, exactly. You know, easily confirmed with John Fisher, who, of course, I believe was a saint. Perhaps they're not sort of connected.
I don't know.
Bob does provide a sterling service, Rob, because he does put the funny bits on. This week, of
he
course...
just puts the humour into it.
Yes, exactly.
You're on the cover.
The classic line, Steve Gibson and Aitor Karanka. I keep saying Aitor Karanka. It's Aitor, isn't it?
It is Aitor Karanka.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. This is an ex-assistant manager. Not one, but two classic things, and also resonating with the reunion of the Pythons, which folk might sort of be aware actually took place this week.
Yes. So sold out in an instant, didn't it?
Much like tomorrow's match should do, because bargain tickets are available. It's astounding, really, in many ways. You can actually go along there and enjoy the whole thing with your Karankerchief.
Karankerchiefs is only £12 a ticket, isn't it?
Yep.
At full price. So.
And the red Karankerchiefs,
those
will be sort of worn in a sort of gladiatorial style, I would
That's right.
In many ways. So great stuff as far as that's concerned. I was also taken by Derek Hammond's article, which gets centre spread here with some classic covers that we actually see in terms of past flights and everything. Have you considered actually putting together a full, a real book, basically? I mean, I've done several before, Rob, but a general book, which, a bit like The Lost World of Football, actually focuses on the fanzine, but just Fly Me to the Moon.
Well, Derek does it really well. He's Lost World of Football and is... What a shot of absolutely, they're both just out. Mm. They're both fantastic, sort of putting lots of different photos together and lots of different images from football, in the past. And it makes you think, I hadn't thought of doing it in that way. He's very much brought, a sort of fanzine approach to the bookshelves, really. He sent me all these images. Most of them are mine, but I sent him them before to use in his books, and he sent me them back, so I put them together like this on the page.
Kind of fanzine annual. Do you know, for a moment there, I thought I saw Billy Ashcroft. Has he had one of these photographs there? So, sorry, maybe I'm just hallucinating. I could have sworn I actually saw a sort of Billy Ashcroft.
Oh, there's a picture top right of Burrow with Kevin Beattie in the side, which Derek's is actually a Leicester fan. He's a football writer from Leicester, and he publishes books and things like that. And he was shocked to find out that Kevin Beattie had actually played two or three games for Middlesbrough before he's in between knee operations.
So did Paul Gascoigne, but you know, it's a different sort of experience on that sort of basis. A whole range of things. So back to Bob Fischer, 1988 and all that. Takes a sentimental look back at the birth of the fanzine movement. One of the lectures wearing my other hat that I actually deliver to the journalism students at the University of Lincoln actually focuses on the relationship between sport and the media.
Yes.
And post Sky and the Premiership and the huge sort of financial packages that come with that, really the fanzine area came in to begin to address that and provide the voice of the fans in many ways, that kind of good writing side of things. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically saying that I think it's everyone always talks about the world of football changing in 1999 with the Tears of Gaza, but also in 1989 with Hillsborough.
1990 Tears of Gaza, I think. Was
1990,
it?
What did I say?
1999.
Oh, sorry.
1989. He's still been crying. Probably not about the 1990 World Cup.
No, 1989 was Hillsborough, wasn't it? Yeah. And 1990 Tears of Gaza were
had Heysel, Hillsborough, and the whole
Hillsborough because of the reorganisation of football grounds and bringing them up to date, and also that the Football Supporters Association having a big voice in that, and then 1990 the Tears of Gaza sort of popularised football in the Italian World Cup but before that in 88 really. 87, 88, the fanzine movement started, and a lot of it was a reaction to Margaret Thatcher's Enemy Within. They were going to bring in identity cards for all football fans because of there was the violence in football, the hooliganism, and a lot of football fans were sort of saying, look, don't sort of put us all together. We've got an awful lot to say about ourselves and about our sport. We don't want to be like passive people who are just herded into pens as we were in those days. And so I think that's what Bob Fischer's saying about how things started, that a page was turned in the late 80s, and it very much started with supporters writing for themselves in fanzines that they produced themselves.
Which is absolutely spot on, and interesting taking Bob's line. Some people, some of our listeners, possibly Master Thomas Bartley, there we are, shameless name check for the young man, actually may not appreciate the lines where he says, I've just dug out the first Borough video I ever bought. In the words of Kenneth Williams' Notorious Diaries, I've had the Barclays. Ooh, matron. It's pathetic, really. But Barclays League Division 1, that is 1988-89, Bob bought this now tatty VHS tape in a plastic case the size of a house brick. You just look around the Southside Studios. Lots of them around. Yeah. You know, they're all very good. They're archive, they're history, living history. Still fretting over less than impressive personal appearance and performance in a GCSE examination, the tone of which had been set by his PE teacher, Mr. Witcherwood, who informed Bob and the rest of his team at the start of the test that he understood we were required to produce a French letter before home time. Watching the video now with its Kenny G saxophone solos and Commodore 64 computer graphics, world sports action, there's little to suspect that a new era of football was being ushered in. And yes, there is a photograph of the late great commentator Brian Moore. Just in front of the line, we always felt something that was special when we actually had the we sort of thought that we were bonded with ITV when the da 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 da, you know, the big match thing started, etc. So, what was wrong with Shoot? That's what I say. It's a whole classic thing from that.
He was a great commentator, Brian Moore, wasn't he? I don't think anyone's ever reached his standards myself.
Yeah, I mean, certainly in terms of TV setups, he did sort of cope very well with that. I think also Mike Ingham probably is a contemporary thing. Alan Green tries, but is not quite sort of there. And, just get started. I mean, clearly, you know, we've got a bit of a name check to Alistair Brownlee, haven't we, really?
Yeah.
You know, if only for some local pride. Don't know if he listens to us these days. It's all right, Alistair, we've taken out your thing from the system. We'll probably put it back in eventually.
Must do.
So Bob concludes, happy birthday, Flying to the Moon. And that GCSE French result was fine, despite Mr. Witcherwood's best attempts. So there we are, 1988, the year when it all began, when ordinary football fans began to fight back and say in a unified chant, probably with a few cheeky V signs chucked in, Actually, we're just normal people who happen to like football. Was Flying to the Moon a big part of that? For me, yes, it was. That was obviously Bob Fischer there. And it still continues to thrive since then. So good news on that basis. Keeping the literary theme going, there are huge connections between literature and football, and we haven't forgotten our poetry. Teesside Steel, John Nicholson's text, 2004 to 2006, The Golden Years. And I'm pleased to see he actually does include the glorious 1976 Anglo-Scottish Cup win against Fulham, which I was privileged to actually be at for that game, I think.
Settled on a two-leg affair, settled on an own goal.
Yes.
Although David Armstrong, to this day, disputes that. He reckons that he should have been credited the goal. And I don't think Les Strong of Fulham would argue about that.
It's a thought, yeah. But as you guys say, it's the League Cup win against Bolton, followed by finishing seventh in the Premier League and making the last 16 of the UEFA Cup, and then, of course, the UEFA Cup final the following season.
Yeah.
Did it really happen, he asks himself. Was it all a dream?
Golden years.
Or could it be happening again? I mean, in terms of this, clearly the last assistant manager who took us along those ways was assistant to a fairly key person, Alex Ferguson, and the club I try not to mention. And obviously that is there. And clearly working with Mourinho is not bad.
And
Jose himself sent Mr. Karanka a good luck text as well on the first day. So, you know, it could be interesting. On that
basis. Absolutely. Assistant at Real Madrid is akin to being assistant at Man United, isn't it?
Probably, some might say, more important, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
In terms of the
he took all the press conferences last season as well, didn't he, when Jose fell out with the press.
Exactly. So, be very interested in terms of how... Have you had a chance of meeting Mr. Karanka as yet? Senior Karanka?
Yeah, I met him at a press conference and asked him a couple of questions yesterday just about the crowd and the atmosphere at Leeds, and he seemed to be totally bowled over. That's something you wouldn't get much in Spain. I don't think fans travel en masse. I might be wrong, but I don't think they do, by and large, in Spain. And a 30,000 crowd at the second level of football is just as unheard of in Spain. It never happens. It doesn't happen anywhere else in Europe, I don't think, at the second level. So to see that in his first game at Leeds, he's really looking forward to what's going to happen at the Riverside, where all the Karanka chiefs waved and everything.
And as you say, Karanka's fresh ideas, formations, interesting. You spoke to Mazi Carriol about
that. Yeah. He was saying that, I was asking him about, his defensive duties, because as a winger, you're often called to defend, and that can be a weak point in the team. And he said he's actually going to be told to start further up the pitch from now on. He's going to be, so they think that it'll be even better for us attacking wise. It might make us more vulnerable at the back. Maybe we saw that against Leeds, but he also said about a very fluid system of forwards, which we see Spain, don't we? We see that. I said to him that I noticed at Leeds at one point, himself and Albert Adoma, the other winger, both on the same wing. And we've seen that at Spain, where sometimes you've got two or three players, the two wingers and a fullback, all attacking down the same wing at one time. And it looks as if Middlesbrough, the forwards will be very fluid and be interchangeable.
Potentially a very shrewd piece of Steve Gibson business, given obviously slight sort of piquancy in terms of, I'm sure, both Mark Venus and Tony Mowbray will be looking on thinking about players like that who were put into the system. Again, sometimes you just need to have a slightly different turn on the whole system, and things can work out magically.
Absolutely, and one thing we're doing, I don't know whether you know the links with Atletico Madrid, where we've got players going across there and learning languages as well as playing. And this week, and Dave Parnaby went across there, and I don't know whether you know, but he got an honorary degree at the university this week, for which he said was for the whole of his department. But what he's achieved at the academy is phenomenal. His son Stuart, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, son Stuart's sporting a fantastic Movember moustache. It's just being his last day as we're recording this, wasn't it?
There we are. It's amazing. Precisely so. So, big question now. Do we go Kadeem? Do we go Thomas? Thomas or Kadeem in terms of the poetry feature? I mean, no Bark at the Moon. I suppose that's the one thing that has changed in terms of as the fanzine has grown and developed and reached its glorious years of 25, etc.
Less letters.
letters. Exactly.
Maybe people are more long-winded these days. Maybe they want to develop things into articles rather than write little letters.
People can actually contribute to that. So which one do you want to go for, Kadeem or Thomas? I mean, we will do both, but it's just a case of the order.
I see. Well, should we go for Kadeem's first?
Yes, why not? Okay, let's go. It's entitled, We Who Have Burra in Our Blood. And I'm sure with that particular sort of line working through, you can take it into a routine. So would you like to start us off, Rob?
We who have Burra in our blood Let not defeat at Leeds dampen your ardour. Go not quietly to the riverside this Saturday.
True fans do not lose faith, even in the dark days of 86, because we have Borough in our blood.
Debut defeat at Leeds is a modern norm for Borough bosses. He who was mentored by the special one is not to blame. Go not quietly to the riverside this Saturday.
Neither bleak midwinter nor the current league position will deter we who have Borough in our blood. Ticket prices reduced, bolted as opposition, Riverside packed to the rafters. Go not quietly to the riverside this Saturday.
With silver anniversary FMTTM in pocket, don't wave the white flag. Dry your eyes on your Karanka chief. We who have Borough in our blood, go not quietly to the riverside this Saturday.
So, straight on from there, I think, too, let's just not mess around because
don't mess around.
He doesn't like it when we mess around, as Master Thomas Bartley. I'm sure we can mention his dad as well, one way along the line.
Yeah, Chris, bizarrely enough, he talks about the first ever article, Chris, that he wrote for the fanzine. When did he say he wrote it? It was about 20 years ago, wasn't it? And I actually found it. I actually found the article. It was about John Walk. Mm-hmm. Being a film star, it was just ridiculous that I actually found it as I was laying out his page, and because there's 536 different fanzines in my office, so to actually just happen upon it was a good coincidence.
And I'm not sure whether he's actually tried a very ambitious thing here, because as he rightly says, Master Thomas Bartley, there is no Doctor Who anniversary or Diamond Jubilee this Saturday, but it is 25 years of FMTTM. It's their Silver Wedding. So in as many ways as possible, we can offer up our honours. Borough has changed a lot in those years. Before Master Thomas Bartley was born, what are the changes? Well, the manager, from Ryok to current Norwegian club manager, Todd to Lenny to Ryan Robson to a seasoning of Venables, ooh, Christmassy to Stevie Mac to Gareth to Gordy to the Tony to this strange named wise talking Jose's minion, Aito Karanka. Here's a song to celebrate. Has he done this as a part of Doctor Who lyric side of things? I mean, this is the critical thing. Has he actually? Because there is a sense here where I'm almost picking up a kind of rap sense,
right,
of Doctor Who coming into this sort of scenario. I mean, do you think he would mind? Do you think he would sort of feel if we actually sort of just opened this up and maybe sort of looked at this as a Doctor Who themed song? You know, sort of a little bit of stuff to the background. So you know, we can kind of deal with that and say, he's here. It's our tall like Santa, but brighter. He rejected Palace's call for a small but a fall to the division lower. He wants a challenge, but let's wait till March when he's truly knackered from all that hard work after 12 o'clock. But he won't be there for him if he resigns. Well, maybe we can work on it. I don't know.
It's got potential.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of little rough cut. We thought we'd drop in there, really.
I like it.
Well, it's a way. You can obviously play it back. You know, it's a way to work our way through that. You know? Anyway, it's our way of celebrating the fabulous world of 25 years, of course. Well, 50 years of the Doctor, let's be honest. 25 years of Fly Me to the Moon. Sensational. The next programme is beginning to assemble, Rob.
Yes.
Return of Jill Appleton plus friends from Macmillan College will be sort of taking over in a matter of moments. It's very exciting. But that's another show, another routine. How can people get hold of copies of Fly Me to the Moon, the actual magazine itself?
If you've got the website, www.fmttm.com, or write to me at Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brent Null Centre, Jilk Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP, or email me at FMTTM.
It's been 25
admin.
Years, right?
I'll get it right in the end. FMTTMadmin@gmail.com.
And having been able to celebrate, I suppose, the last four of those years as the podcast providers, we should celebrate in every sense of the word from that point of view. So excellent stuff there. I think we should get some of these folk from Macmillan in to actually say those last seven words.
Reckon.
You think? Do you want to actually sort of... I'll kind of fill...
Fill.
Yes, you fill while you explain exactly what they actually need to do when they sort of come in from that sort of point of view. So come in, folks, just to sort of work our way through this. Obviously, we have a fine TV. And strangely, APRA, as you actually said, that one of them was actually honoured one Macmillan graduate was honoured by Teesside University earlier today. So I think we've got folk from the drama department, we've got a whole range of things. This is all because of Young Person's Book of the Month. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Very good.
Jill's obviously trained them well. Very impressive.
Yes, very well trained.
So what you guys have to do, whether or not you're a Borough fan, are you Middlesbrough supporters here? Yeah. This is good.
Oh, good. That's good stuff.
This is looking very good.
Yeah, that's promising.
Explain what they need to do to close this edition of Fly Me to the Moon at the podcast
companion. It's really simple, but we all have to say these few words.
Seven words.
Yes. 1, 2, 3,
you don't have to worry about Karanka, Aitor, or otherwise. Yeah. It's all very important. Sorted out that. So they've gone very quiet. You think?
Yeah, we've got to study
Jill,
them.
I presume they are literate, so they can actually read. Very good. She's nodding. Very marvellous. That's good. Excellent stuff. Yeah. Okay. I think they're all sorted out. The microphones are all pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, it's all.
So are we ready? A one, a two, a three.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
And up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.